Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 415. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will show you how. Four different ways at the end of the program. It's absolutely free. Please mention if you want a CD or an audio tape. We have a lot of some music here today. Pat Boone and his family are on deck with I've Got Confidence, and we've got testimonies and a real powerful message from the Lord, one that should encourage you to become more mature in the Lord. There's a starting place in the Lord, and there's a finish line, and we have to go clear around the track. We have to continue on growing. Where the Lord sows the mustard seed in us, the grain of mustard seed of that kind of faith, which is Christ is the seed that's sown in us as a babe. And that babe, Christ, has to grow up in us like a huge tree, the tree of life. Amen?
Amen.
Because if he doesn't, then there will remain no more forgiveness for you. Because that's part of the covenant, is that you must grow. And, you know, so many people say, well, as long as we go to church, as long as we read the Bible, you're not getting what the Bible is saying. You're not receiving what the Word of God says. It says you have to grow. You have to allow Christ to grow to full maturity into you, to grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. You have to finish the race. It's like there's a starting line again, I say, and there's a finish line. And you have to run the whole race to the end. Those, you say, I'm saved. Only those who continue to the end, only those who continue on to the end shall be saved. In other words, those that grow and grow and become bear fruit. Bear the fruits of the Spirit. Bear the fruit of Christianity so the world can see Christ with his Father by the Spirit living in and through you. And when you grow in the Lord, then you receive power. And this is what the Lord is all about. We don't come to you with excellency of speech, but with power. When I talk over somebody that's sick, they get healed, and I lay hands on them. All right? Mm-hmm. But these are fundamental things, laying hands on people. This is just the beginning of the race. The Lord endows you with the minute that you're saved to cast out devils and things like that. But you have to go on to bigger and better things, leaving those things behind of the doctrines of resurrection. He is supposed to know that already, and yet you're still mincing over that. And so we're going to be reading from Ephesians in that regard. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint this service. Father, open everyone's heart. Open their mind and spirit, their heart. Open the entire inside of every one of us. Lord, there is no empty space in this whole universe or in this world. You fill everything. Your word tells us that you fill all things. You're the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Your spirit keeps everything, cause everything in the universe to be cohesive. If one word, your word, were out of place, everything would unglue. It would be chaos. And one of these days, because of the chaotic way that people live their lives, you're going to show them really how to get chaotic. Yes, stars are going to be falling from heaven. The moon is going to turn to blood, and the sun is going to refuse to give her light. This place, this earth, this planet is going to become a nightmare. And people cry, why are you doing this, God? Because you've been out of order, you'll say, Father. Because you're out of order, now I'm going to show you how out of order really is. I'm going to make the universe go crazy. Now, the universe, Father, you've made it to where it's far more reliable than a Swiss watch movement. Far more reliable. We know what's happening. People can guide their ships and their compasses and everything by the way of the stars, east, west, north, and south. And you've got everything down to a measure and a balance. And everybody's just living their life like, you know, watching cartoons, going to birthday parties, getting married, exchanging gifts, and all these nonsensical things that are not at all, that have nothing at all to do with their immortal life. And so we pray, Lord, that you'll show people the necessity of maturity, of moving on to bigger and better things. Sure, it's good to know our ABCs and our math, general math, how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide. But we don't just keep dwelling on that for all of our lives, for heaven's sakes. Father, teach the people today to mature, that they must go on to bigger and better things. Their minds will not break. They will not snap. I haven't, in all the things that I've learned from you. The more I learn, the more happy I am, and the more able I am to receive the power that you give to everybody. And you're not about words, really. You're about power. We don't demonstrate the power of God by just talk. It's by raising the dead, by when difficulties come, to stand strong and powerful, not to evacuate or to run away like the weaklings who never brace themselves for the things that are to come, which your Bible plainly says, your word plainly states are to come. And you told me of things that I would do along with Susie in the last days, and I have that promise, and I know that you can't lie, you don't lie, and that it's going to come to pass. It doesn't make any difference how evil people get and how much they doubt it. I know that you've made promises to me, and I know that it hasn't come to pass yet, so I know it's going to. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll give them a shock, that you'll send down miracles on top of everything, and that you'll open up treasures from the kingdom of heaven and pour them on us because they're there, and that people will begin praying as they never have before, so that they can grow and become a big, that the big tree of life can grow up in them, and that they will be unshakable and unmovable. Lord, and those that don't know you will be saved. And those that are losing their zeal because of their not growing, Lord, again, make them have growth. We're doing this. Father, I'm asking this in the mighty name of Jesus. And that's mighty, powerful name of Jesus. The Word of God is powerful and holds the whole universe together in your powerful name. Your name that fills the entire universe, your power that fills the entire universe, Lord God, in your name, Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, here's a acquaintance of mine, Mr. Pat Boone and his family. I know Shirley, and I know the two daughters. And they've used to go to our church. Not Pat, but the mother and the two daughters. And his Shirley Boone is the daughter of Red Foley, who has sung a lot of songs. And this one is, the whole family is I've Got Confidence, all right? Elvis Presley did the same song. I've got confidence. There's power. That's why.
Trouble is in my way. I can't tell my night from the day. When I'm tossed from side to side, like a ship in a raging tide. I don't worry. I don't fret. My God hasn't failed me yet. Trouble comes from time to time. But that's all right. I'm not the worrying kind. Because I've got confidence. God is gonna see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know He's gonna fix it for me. Sing it. I've got confidence. God is gonna see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know He's gonna fix it for me. wonder how I can smile, even though I'm going through trials. How can I sing my song when everything seems to be going wrong? I don't worry, I don't fret, my God has spared me yet. Trouble comes from time to time, but that's all right, I'm not the worrying kind. Because I've got confidence, God is gonna see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know He's gonna fix it for me. Let me hear it.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know that I had an attorney one time. He knew I was going to be railroaded into prison because of the gospel that I was preaching. They made up a fake IRS charge, of course, and he told me, run, because I can't win this case for you. Well, Bob Cole had, he's the bail bondsman in the Fort Smith area, put up the money, the property, actually, we put up the money for me to bail out. They had all kinds of charges on me. They make up everything all the time. And the reason for it is because I uncover what the government has been doing and how false it is. And I also explain how that Bush, who's President Bush, that says he's a Christian, couldn't be, because, you know, he'd pray and get answers from the Lord as to why he shouldn't have bombed Iraq, because the Lord would have told him, if he's talking to the Lord. But he's a Catholic. He's not really born again. He's a Catholic because the Bible tells us not to use carnal weapons. That we Christians, our weapons of warfare are not carnal weapons, but they're mighty through the power of God. Amen?
Amen.
To the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, so they said, we got to win this war. Well, the United States has never, to my knowledge, you know, in a major war like that, been guilty of starting the war. A lot of people said, well, he was just going by the advice of his generals. Well, if you're a Christian, you don't go by your generals, you go by the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So I would have asked the Lord, and all the time that he was going to declare war, I was telling President Bush not to do it, not to go over there, because the Lord is telling me not to do it. But he has a bunch of carnal advisors and carnal Jesuits around him. And he doesn't pay any attention to people that are spiritual that know when God is saying don't do it. He sent me 17 emails, President Bush, asking me to tell him what my opinion would be as to how to bring about peace in the Middle East. And I said, okay, I'll tell you. There isn't anything that man can do. I'm writing something, so don't start that war until after you read my message. And so it took me about a month to write the message, because I'm pastoring and there's all kinds of emails coming in and a lot of different vital questions that people are asking me all the time. And so it took me about a month, maybe a little longer, I don't know. some pieces of literature I write in a day. Some of them it takes a couple of days, some a week, a month, sometimes a year. Yeah, but I've got hundreds of pieces of literature that I've written that I haven't released yet. But I told him, don't do it. So immediately after read the literature, I said, no one's going to bring about peace except God in the Middle East. He's going to come down and slaughter anybody that troubles themselves with Israel. The Bible says that Israel, Jerusalem, will be a burdensome stone in the last days. Amen?
Amen.
Why, everybody's being burdened with Jerusalem. And, you know, really Israel as well. Amen?
Amen.
And also, because they're the minority, and everybody thinks that they can destroy them. But they've been trying to do it ever since 1947. When God established them there, they've been dispersed for around 2,000 or more years. God, because of their rejection of Christ, and God allowed them to reject Christ only for one purpose. Remember, the Jews wrote the Bible, and it was all the prophets and apostles were Jews, and the disciples. You may say Luke wasn't, but we can argue that. I can argue it many different ways. But all the people that really wrote the Bible, and Christ himself is a Jew, the world's greatest Jew. And really, he was God come in the flesh. And he's the one that created everything. And everything belongs to him, because especially humans, because he paid for them. But there's a lot of people that are living in God's space. And remember, God, there's no empty space in the whole universe. He fills everything. And when you're praying to him, you don't even have to yell out or anything like that or scream, because he hears everything. You're made out of everything, every molecule that he made. Everything is made, and he's inside every molecule and every atom. Why is he doing? You ask all kinds of questions. Why did he let them make atomic bombs? Well, you know, God made everything that's good, because everything that's made is made out of atoms. Amen?
Amen.
Molecules, etc. But it's what you do with these. He leaves man at his own devices. He doesn't make us into robots. And so you have to be careful what you do. And he's power. I mean, that is powerful when you think that you're living on a ball of mud here with hell and the lake of fire inside of it. And he's keeping that suspended all these years, and it's going to keep it going throughout eternity. He's got some kind of a deal where he, you know, some kind of a trick, if you want to call it. You hear these guys balancing an orange on their nose or something like that. And they can only do it for a certain time, right? But the Lord keeps this and all the planets going forever. Now, he's going to burn this one up. He drowned everyone but eight souls before, but he's going to burn this up real soon. And then he's, after it's refurbished, all the sin is burned out of it. Only the Christians, the ones that continued on to the end, are going to be saved, because he saves us by his blood. He washes all of our former sins away. And then he keeps us powerful, like he does the world, the universe, by his spirit. He holds up all things by his spirit. And a human being is the as weak as you can get. It's the only unruly thing in the entire universe, and the Lord's going to get unruly with us very soon. You should read about the plagues that he's going to be sending down on earth real soon. He's already started. These plagues, like tsunamis, earthquakes, and all the different diseases, are not caused by chance or by somebody other than God. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. All right? Well, we have right now, let's get into some testimonies. Where is this first one from?
From Rancho Santa Margarita, California.
I'm glad I don't live there. That's too long to write on my envelopes. Okay, go ahead.
A Christian lady named Patricia that read the Dry Bones message in the San Diego newspaper when it first came out.
Which is my testimony track message, the way that I was saved. Then what?
And had previously called in for more literature and the pastor's messages on tape. Called again last night requesting several more messages on CD. She said she really loves the way the pastor preaches straight from the Bible and doesn't compromise or sugarcoat the message.
No, I'm not really the sugary type, okay?
Amen.
One time my wife called me sugar, and I says, you really mean that? Okay, then what?
That was from Rancho Santa Margarita, California.
Santa Margarita. Okay, then what else?
Then from Ghana, West Africa.
Praise the Lord for her.
Amen.
Keep it up. Sister, keep it up. Then what?
Dear Pastor, Calvary greetings to you in the name of Jesus Christ for the good work you are all doing for the Lord. Man of God, I want to assure you that this year, 2007, is a year of repentance as my faith has told me. I have received the literature and I am very happy about them. For your information, I have finished distributing them and many people have repented, especially the people in the Polytechnic Institution, my schoolmates. For that reason, those that have repented need the Holy Bible to be studying for the growth of their faith. Therefore, send me some copies of the Bible, both in French and English. Fellow workers, I have formed some community who are ready to help me in doing the work. I also need 10 copies of the Messiah book with more literature and also taped messages. Tony Alamo, we are ready to do the work as Jesus himself has instructed us to do. We need the materials. May God richly bless you. We are praying for you as well, and our prayer is that you will have broad branches in the world. You are really a world pastor, your fellow worker, A. Wisdom, from Ghana, West Africa.
Praise the Lord, and let's pray for them over there. They're doing a great job. Amen.
Amen.
This is wonderful to see people that are pitching in. Because that's what the body of Christ is all about. We're the minority in this world. We and the Jews over in Israel, they're fighting the whole world, and we are too. And the Bible says for us to fight them, but again, I'm going to keep saying it because a lot of people like to strain at what we say. We don't use carnal weapons, bombs, bullets, guns, anything like that, tanks, airplanes. That's for the heathen.
Amen.
To do. And if Bush was a, President Bush was a Christian, I pray that he will be, but he wouldn't be putting up memorials to the Catholic cult over here. And he stated that he will do anything and everything, obey the Pope. Well, I didn't want the Roman government to take over the United States, and I don't think anyone that voted for President Bush wanted him to do whatever the Pope wants to do. They're supposed to be doing, I mean, if we're going to go under a democracy, which is another Catholic tool, that's what they use. We're actually a republic. For the republic for which we stand, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen?
Amen.
One nation under God. Well, they're the exact opposite. We're not what we used to do. They did away with the U.S. Constitution many years ago. The popes always have said to hell with the U.S. Constitution because they don't really want you to have freedom. The U.S. Constitution is our freedom. And so if you're Christians, then you would have fought them with the Word of God, telling them that you're not going to believe in abortion, which is first degree murder. You don't believe in homosexuality like this government does. They want to make these things because they're homosexuals, a lot of them. The popes for the last few years have been homosexual, and there's like hundreds of thousands of priests that are homosexual, and they are child molesters, and of course nobody dares bring them to court. They might, if somebody gets out of line in their cult, they might put them in the news media and say, we're prosecuting this guy to teach him a lesson. But they don't prosecute their own. That's what Jesus said. If you're going to tax somebody, he says, who do you think that the secular world is going to tax? Will they tax us or their own? They say us. In other words, Rockefeller, they took him into court, you know, as a dummy type of thing. And he said, where'd you get that huge car of yours? He says, I got friends. Okay, in other words, he's using his friend's car. Rockefeller. Yeah, that's it. Well, where'd you get that $12,000 cashier's check? Well, I got friends. Oh, I see. You got friends. What do you think they'd do if I told them that? Of course, I don't get that kind of money. I got friends. Where'd you get that Rolls, that Mercedes-Benz? I got friends. They let me use their cars. Baloney. Amen.
Amen.
Stop the malarkey. Well, this is, the Roman government. They got friends. But what about us? No, you don't have friends. Well, I want to say the same thing. You're going to go for contempt of court for lying. All right. I got friends. All right. So, but I do have a friend in Jesus. Amen. And I don't think his friends are going to do him any good at the judgment bar of God, right?
Amen.
I got friends. Lord said you should have had a friend in Jesus.
Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Amen.
All our sins. And what to bear?
Griefs.
Griefs. Yeah, there's all kinds of grief that keeps hitting us, but like Pat Boone and his family said, it doesn't bother me.
Amen.
I'm not bothered, okay?
Amen.
Because I've got confidence in God, because I know that I'm saved. I've got the Lord, and the Lord promises to protect us. And if he allows us to go to prison, you know, like he did himself and like he did Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, they were all ex-convicts. Why do you people read about these ex-convicts? You try to say that Tony Alamo is an ex-convict. No, I'm just like those boys. They all went to prison. Amen? And Jeremiah. And all these others in the Bible that have gone to prison. But I didn't worry about it. I'm out now. Well, you're going back again, I'm sure that the Vatican will say. Yeah, for what? Why? Okay, why don't you people go for killing, murdering all the people you do, all these wars, fake wars that you start, and say, I'm just taking orders from my general and all that kind of stuff. Malarkey. You know what you're doing, and you're going to be judged for it as well. If President Bush was a Christian, he would have prayed, and he would not be building temples and memorials to the Vatican, which is the actual place that Satan sits, the Bible says, in the city of the Seven Hills right there. And I can guarantee you that there aren't many Baptist churches there. They're all Catholic. Amen?
Amen.
And that's where the devil sits, and that's his cult. And the government, the world government today, is Satan's government. Oh, you don't dare say that. Well, I do. It's like the woman said, I don't sugarcoat anything.
Amen.
I tell you the truth, because none of us are going to live that long. Man, I can remember it was like yesterday, I was 10 years old. And now look at me. I used to look at my grandfather's hands, and they were, God, you could see veins in them, and you could see these brown spots in them. They call them liver spots, and I thought, oh, God, are my hands going to look like that when I get old? And now I'm 72, almost 73 years old, and I look down, there's no brown spots. But Grandpa! You know, look there, and there's these veins on my God. I was just 10 yesterday. That's what the Lord says, that our life is like a vapor, it's like grass, it's like a shadow, and it's over with. So we have to do business, and we have to do business very quickly with the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so you did both of them? Oh, yeah. All right, now, the New Testament is actually a new covenant. We're not under the old covenant anymore, but we're still under the law. Okay, and so... So we're reading again from Hebrews chapter 6. where the Apostle Paul is talking about our need for maturity. We just can't start out. So he says, therefore, verse 1, leaving the discussion of the elementary things or the elementary principles of Christ that we just learn when we get saved, you know, the ABCs of it. Okay, the ABCs, you know, we have to be resurrected from the dead. We know that already. So these elementary principles of Christ, he said, come on, let's keep running. Let us go on to perfection and to the full growth of the tree of life living in us. Christ is that tree of life. Not laying again the foundation of repentance, because we've already repented, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of people say, well, I committed another sin today, and so I repent. I was born again today, because I was born again about 1,500 times before. But I'm born again today, and then I'm born again. I'm born. No, you're not. The Bible says we're born into this world once, and then we become born again to be spiritual and to begin the race and start growing. Pal or sister or heathen, whoever you are, we're not supposed to lay again the foundation of repentance. You can't repent and repent and repent. Is what it says right here. Amen. This is verse in chapter 6. You build the foundation of a building and then you start building it up, right?
Amen.
You don't knock it down and then start the foundation again.
Amen.
And again and again. You'd never get anywhere. Now you're supposed to have the Lord in you and you're supposed to start growing. Because the Lord likens himself as unto a seed, a grain of wheat or a grain of corn. It falls into the earth, and then it springs forth, and it just doesn't come up as a little blade. In patience, we water it, let the sunshine get to it, and then pretty soon it grows up into a full a shaft, and then all of a sudden it starts sprouting out ears. And maybe one kernel was sown, but all of a sudden there's hundreds of kernels on each cob. Amen?
Amen.
Because it became mature. You sow, soybeans or milo, I lived out on the farm. You didn't grow watermelons or cantaloupes or anything. And you don't, first the thing shoots up and then later the flower appears. It's moving on. Mon?
Amen?
Amen. He says mon. Right. It goes on. We're just moving on. A friend of mine, Hank Snow, sang a song, we're moving on. Amen?
Amen.
From old Montana down to Tennessee. I've traveled before and I'll travel again. Of course, to Alabama, I've traveled before and I'll travel again. These trifling women can't keep a good man down. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so there isn't anything in this world that's supposed to keep a good man or a good woman down. You're supposed to keep moving on. Amen?
Amen.
Just keep moving on. They say we keeping on to keep keeping on. No, we are moving on, and we're going to keep moving on until the end. It says those that continue moving on to the end shall be saved. Amen?
Amen.
So it says these are elementary principles of Christ. He says, let us go on, let's move on to perfection. To perfection. Well, the people, these false preachers are saying, we can't be perfect. Well, why then does the Lord say that we can be perfect if we move on?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Wow, that's a good argument, isn't it?
Amen.
And why does it say that we must be perfect to enter into the kingdom of heaven? If I were you, I wouldn't listen to these people and say nobody's perfect. Because the 8th chapter of Romans tells us that we are perfect if we're not walking in the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
If we're moving on in the spirit, if we're growing, if the tree of life is growing in us, so then we're perfect. Well, no one, you make mistakes. We make mistakes, but not spiritual ones, friend. Not if you're reading and going, moving on. Amen?
Amen.
Listen to Hank Snow's record. Yeah? Nothing. No trifling woman or anything on the face of this earth can keep a good man down. Because you've been resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. You know, every one of you that's out in the world is doing dead works. I don't care what you're doing. If you're not in the Lord and the Lord is not in you, then everything you're doing is dead. And you yourself are dead in your sins and trespasses. Amen?
Amen.
So, moving on to perfection. Perfection. Boy, they've tried to kill that word, but I'm going to keep preaching it because it's right here in the Bible. You check it out in the sixth chapter of Ephesians and look up in your concordance the word perfect and perfection. You'll see it's all through the Bible that we have to be that way. Amen?
Yeah.
And we can't be that way unless we're resurrected spiritually from the dead. Okay? Unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. We had to have faith to get saved. Now that we're saved, what are you going to operate in some other mode? If you started with faith, you have to continue growing in faith. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, you will not. You will definitely fall away. And there's no more repentance. So, verse 2, it says, we have faith toward God. Of the doctrine of baptism. That's how we already were baptized. Amen?
Amen?
We don't have to think about that anymore. Or laying on of hands. We've been doing that. Of resurrection. These are elementary things, okay? That the baby Christians know. The resurrection of the dead. You were dead. You were doing dead works. You weren't accomplishing anything for the Lord. And so you were dead spiritually. And of eternal judgment. We know that everybody's going to be judged. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the Bible says for us not to judge of our own judgment, but it says we're to judge all things by the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because the Word of God is God's judgment. And so we can tell people, oh, you're committing sin. We can tell them that because it's in God's Word. That's not my judgment. That's the judgment of the Lord. So, but we know all these things already. And this we will do if God permits. And he's being facetious. Of course, God will permit you to go on. Amen?
Amen.
Because he commands you to be perfect. Now, and if you don't, here it is, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened to these things, and have tested the heavenly gift. In other words, you knew that it's like Pat Boone says, he's got confidence because anytime trouble comes up, the Lord delivered him. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what all the people in the Bible say. So, for it's impossible for those who were once enlightened, because we can only be saved once, we can't be born again once and then twice and 10 and 15 and 20 and 100 and 1,000 times like all these so many people tell me that they are. You're born again once and then you're running the race. Amen?
Amen.
It's what it says here. Hebrews chapter 6. For it is impossible. You know what impossible is? That means you can't do it no matter what you do or try. It's absolutely impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift of eternal life and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, which means that you also were partaking of the commonwealth. Because when you're in a church such as the one that the Lord has given me stewardship over, and made me the authority over. We have everything in common. Amen.
Amen.
Nobody misses meals.
Amen.
Everybody has new shoes. If some of them have many pairs of shoes. Most of them do. And clothes so much that they can't even, they have to build new closets to put them in. And all the worldly things, we don't even think about that because it isn't a problem. So once we've been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, which is eternal life and the power of God and communication with the Lord, to be able to communicate with Him and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, not the Holy Ghost. Because there's no such thing as the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that God is a spirit, not a ghost. All right? We're raised from the dead by a ghost? No. I said we're raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen?
Amen. We're not baptized, with a ghost. We're baptized with the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, so once we have the gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God, very good, and the powers of the age to come. We know what's coming because the Bible tells us. And if, verse 6, if we fall away, if they fall away to it's impossible if they fall away to renew them again. It's impossible. Just like Perry Como says, I'm sorry, folks, I come from the entertainment industry. It's impossible for a baby not to cry. It's just impossible. It's impossible for you to be renewed again, to be born again, again, and again, and again. Amen?
Amen.
It says it right here. If they fall away, because they become part of the great falling away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again and again and again for themselves. It's for themselves that they crucify Christ, because they want this world. They got something here, so they want to sin. They love to sin. And so they've tasted the good word of God. Good because the Word of God is true. Amen?
Amen?
And His promises are true. We're reading from the New Covenant. It's in the contract that all these things, that God is not a kidder. He's not jiving or joking around. He's saying, keep running. Continue running. Don't think that you can be born again and born again and born again and again and again. Because if they fall away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame. Isn't that something? Because you go around telling people you're a Christian, they can see you fornicating and being a lesbian or a homosexual. And this is a promise. This is the new covenant, the new testament, the new contract, the new deal between you and God. And when He says, and He's the way, the truth, and the life, and when He tells you these things by the Spirit through the Apostle Paul or whoever He's talking through in the Bible, it's true. His promises, His word is true. So you do the crucifying for unto yourself. You do it. Since they crucify again for themselves, for yourself. You don't have to be one of the Roman soldiers that crucified Christ to the cross. All you heathen, you crucify Him again yourself. The Son of God, and put Him to an open shame. Now, it goes, for the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon the earth and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessings from God. Well, the same rain that causes these things to happen also brings up thorns.
Amen.
So there's good people that do what the Lord said and believe him. They don't think he's a sham. They don't think he's a kidder, that he kids around with people. It's in the contract. It's in the covenant. It's a promise. So it drinks in the rain. It brings in, comes upon it and bears herbs that we need. The herbs are useful, you know. I eat herbs. Amen.
Amen.
For those by whom it is cultivated. You have to cultivate the earth, you know. Because if you don't, the seeds, nothing will grow, so you won't get any herbs. Receives blessings from God. The Lord is just using agriculture here to show you that if you don't continue on, you don't keep moving on, you're not cultivating your soul, your spirit. So he says, but if it bears thorns and briars, just like the earth does, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Now, what good of you if you don't listen to what God said? Because there's no higher word in the world, or no higher instruction for any people to receive but God's word. And he says, this is all the promise, the new covenant. This is, he wants us to know what the deal is. Amen?
Amen.
This is the deal. It's impossible for you to be restored. Okay? And so this is the exhortation to maturity. Verse 9 in the 6th chapter of Hebrews. All right? But, beloved, see, the man put verses and chapters in. But God didn't do that, you know.
Amen.
So people think, oh, my God, you know, you don't know the chapter and verse. Well, you know, it doesn't make any difference because it's the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, verse 9, but, beloved, we are confident. It's like Pat Boone says, he's got confidence. Amen?
Amen.
We're confident, if you're really not thorns and thistles, of better things concerning you. That you're not going to be burned because you are going to receive the rain, the latter rain, and let it water you, and you're not going to grow up and get bored with the Word of God or think that it's really an imposition or that you're really going through it to listen to the Word of God. But this you should be thankful and praising and thanking the Lord for his instruction. Mm-hmm. So we're very confident of better things concerning you. Yes. Things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work. Oh, we have to work? Well, that's what the Bible says all over the place. Amen?
Amen.
God worked. Amen?
Amen.
He worked. He planted everything in the garden on earth. Amen?
Amen.
And he said, God's not going to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full, absolutely full assurance of hope until the end. You don't have any hope if you're not continuing on, if you're not a moving on, just a moving on. Amen?
Amen.
You won't have any confidence if you don't have diligence. Verse 12, that you do not become sluggish, but do the things through faith that the Lord has told us to do, and patience, inherit the promises. because this book tells you that this is the promises right here. Amen?
Amen.
The New Testament is the covenant, the promise. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, can't swear by anyone greater than God, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you. That is, if you continue, if you keep my word, and multiplying, I will multiply you. Some women have barren wombs and they can't have children. Well, it's because they don't do, you know, they like doing all kinds of other things other than the word. And so after he had patiently endured, not all women that are pregnant follow the word either.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, there's something that people might be doing wrong. And so after he had patiently endured, this is Abraham, he obtained the promise. Amen?
Amen.
For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. There's no argument, okay? You, not to argue with the Bible, amen?
Amen?
And you're not to take on the things that these weak and beggarly and satanic false prophets are saying, these false ministers and pastors and teachers. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled the for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. So we need to, that's the end of chapter 6 of Hebrews. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Amen. So we just have to, I see they're holding up, my little daughter is holding up the card saying that I'm out of time. And I thank you, honey, you're so good at that. She does it so diligently. Well, those of you that want to believe the promise of God and not be a reject or a thorn or a thistle, I would have you say this prayer. This is the beginning, the starting line of salvation. And I'll keep you going through the Spirit of the Lord, so long as He allows me to, until you finish the race, if you'll let me. Okay, so start out by saying this prayer. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and He shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word is God. You say, all that call upon you, you will in no wise turn away. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. And here's Sharon to tell you four different ways that you can receive a copy of this program. Number 415, it's absolutely free, including the postage and handling. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo stating, tune in tomorrow for another powerful program. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. The Word is Spirit and life. And it's a sweet, sweet spirit. And here's Norma Zimmer and Jim Roberts to sing for you, Sweet, Sweet Spirit.
We live.